morning, everyone. Okay, so we are going to start off right away, right now, with everyone, if you have some, if you're sitting in the parking lot, grab some sidewalk chalk, doesn't matter what age you are, and write yes somewhere on the ground. So you can write yes big, write yes small, write yes super fancy, plain and simple. You can even write yes in a different language if you know it. So however you want, in whatever color you choose, we ask you to write Y-E-S, yes, on the ground. Now, some of you might be a little hesitant because you feel like you're saying yes to something, but we haven't told you what exactly you're saying yes to. Just ask you to trust us and just open yourselves to God's working in your hearts this morning as we jump into the story of Moses.
All right. Now, I'd say Moses is one of the most famous guys in the Bible. We know quite a bit about his life story and what he experienced as compared to some of the other people in the Bible. He was there for some pretty incredible miracles and moments in God's story. We have the 10 plagues of Egypt, the parting of the Red Sea, the giving of the 10 commandments, bread coming from heaven, water coming from a rock. Well, we obviously don't have time this morning to cover all of Moses' life, so we encourage you to check out those stories in the book of Exodus and Numbers, the second and third book of the Bible.
But what we are going to look at today is the moment when Moses first said yes to God. So this means we're going to Exodus chapter 3, and our story picks up when Moses is out watching a flock of sheep. Pretty common thing to do at the time. And verse 2 says, "The angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up." Now, I don't know about you, but whenever I read this, I imagine Moses, like, doing the classic double take. Like, you know what I mean? You're walking along, and, like, you see something, and like, oh, like, that's cool. They're like, wait, like, what did I just see? Like, that's how I picture Moses. He's tending his sheep, and as you do, he's looking, and, oh, look, there's a bush on fire. Like, wait, like, that is not burning up. Like, what in the world? So Moses, of course, does the very natural thing of human curiosity and says, "I have to get closer and see this strange sight." So in verse 4 we read, "When the Lord saw that he," meaning Moses, "had turned aside to see, God called out of the bush, 'Moses, Moses.' And Moses replies, 'Here I am.' Then God instructs Moses to take off his sandals, for the place where he is standing is holy ground." Holy meaning set apart, unique. There is no other like God. God is holy, and where he is holy and set apart. Moses is about to have a unique conversation, unlike any he has had before. Now this conversation begins with God introducing himself by saying, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." Now this is important, not necessarily who the specific people are that God lists, but because they are people. God introduces himself based on the relationships he is known for. God could have said with just as much accuracy, "I am the God who created the world, the God who sent a flood, the God who spread people out all over the earth." However, he doesn't introduce himself based on things he had done, but on relationships he had had, because our God is relational. From the beginning of this conversation, God points out the people he has known, loved, and led. And we can then infer that because he started this conversation, God wants to be the God of Moses, too. Now, remember with me that in the second chapter of Exodus, the Bible tells us Moses was raised in Egypt in the Pharaoh's palace. And there were many, many different gods worshipped in Egypt. And those Egyptian gods were gods of things. The God of the sun, the God of the earth, the God of the sky, of war, of power, all of them things. And those gods of things are the gods Moses grew up learning about and the kind of gods he was familiar with. But God says, "I am different. I am God, and I want to be known as a God who has a relationship with my people."
And that has not changed. Let us assure you of that. Thousands of years have passed, but God has not changed. He is still relational God, and he desires relationship with you and me. But back to the Moses and his conversation with God. God tells Moses in verse 10, "So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." And Moses says, "All right, great, I'm on it." Right? Wrong. You see, Moses isn't interested in saying yes to this instruction right away. Instead, check out what Moses says in verse 11. He says, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" Now, I definitely can't blame Moses for questioning this request, being given such a huge responsibility and all. I mean, what person is qualified for a job like that? But God responds by promising the one thing that does matter in a qualification for such a job: God's presence. God says, "I will be with you." No matter what Moses faces in Egypt, he will face it with God's presence and power.
Pretty incredible promise. But despite that promise, if we were to keep reading in Exodus chapters 3 and 4, we see that God still has to work fairly hard to convince Moses and reassure all of Moses' doubts about his ability to complete this task. Moses asks, "How should I answer when they ask who sent me?" Moses questions, "What if they don't believe me?" He asks, "What if they don't listen to me?" Then Moses offers an excuse, "But I'm a bad speaker." And eventually, Moses simply says, "Please send someone else." And in response to each of these questions and doubts that Moses voices, God reassures Moses. And I would sum up God's reasons and reassurances as, "I've got this. I've got you. So take this wooden staff and go." And Moses goes. Now, in the biblical account, we read no audible, "Yes, I will go," from Moses. But we do read that the next thing Moses does is leave for Egypt. Moses doesn't say yes with his mouth, but clearly he said yes in his heart. Through his actions, we see that Moses ultimately said, "Yes, I am willing. I will lead your people out of slavery in Egypt." And as Moses continues to grow in this relationship with God, his actions continue to show his willingness to trust God and say, "Yes, God, wherever you lead me, I will follow, because I know you will be with me." Now, similar to Moses, the first time I remember saying yes to God was not an audible yes. I didn't say it out loud to any other human, but I remember saying it in my heart to myself. I was 10, and at Pilgrim Hills Church Camp for the week, which is located in hilly central Ohio, and one evening we were sitting down cross-legged on the deck outside the dining hall, which is a great view. I wish I could transfer the mental image that I have to you, because it is still there, looking out over these trees and these hills. There's a cross in the distance that the camp has put up to just add to the view. I recall seeing this and the stars up in the sky, being so amazed by creation and in awe of the God who created all of it. I remember thinking, the God who created all of this came to earth and died to save me so he could have relationship with me. Do I want to be an active participant in such a relationship? In my heart, I said, "Yes, I absolutely do. I want to live life knowing and loving and following Jesus." And since then, every day I try to willingly say, "Yes, Jesus, wherever you lead, I will follow, because I know you will be with me."
Now, some of you might have similar stories of saying yes to Jesus. Some of you probably have totally different stories. And some of you might not have said that yes, and that's okay. We are just so glad you're here and learning about what that yes means, because it's something you should not take lightly. Saying that yes is life-changing. It's changed Amy's life, and it certainly has changed mine. And look at Moses. His life changed dramatically, because Moses did not just say yes to God on that one day in front of the burning bush. Moses continued to say yes for the rest of his life, and God was with Moses through here's another thing. Moses was not a perfect person before meeting God in the burning bush. And he certainly wasn't perfect after either. But God doesn't want perfect. He wants relationship because he made us and he loves us. And that's why he sent Jesus to die on the cross and save us. So reflect with me for a second here. Where are you in this relationship? Have you said yes to Jesus? Maybe you said yes to Jesus years ago, and realizing you haven't said or lived that yes recently. Maybe you haven't said it, but you want to. And maybe you feel God calling you to something specific, and you're hesitant to say yes because it feels scary.
Each of us are in a different place and have a different specific yes we can say to Jesus today. Look around at you at the different yeses that you wrote at the beginning of our time. Each and every one of you wrote it in your own unique way. And every single one of us, whether kid or adult, someone who's been a Christian for decades, or someone for whom this is all new, has a different specific yes we can say to Jesus. But together, we can say, yes, we are willing. Even though we might have doubts about our own abilities or fears or how others might react like Moses did, we are called to open our hearts, trust God, and willingly go where he leads us. The Bible is full of stories of people who said yes to God and lived the rest of their life in relationship with him. So now jump with us into the New Testament and let's look at another first yes to Jesus.
In Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, Luke records Simon Peter's first encounter with Jesus this way. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. Well, let's stop right there. Imagine you're Simon Peter. Imagine what it would have felt like to be in the crowds that day. Jesus standing on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. That's another name for the Lake of Gennesaret. Fishermen tending their nets and crowds of people coming to hear him preach. Now, at this point, Jesus was becoming a local preaching celebrity. And in fact, people were pushing their way to get to the front. Just picture your favorite rock concert and everyone just rushing the stage, right? Well, Jesus, not wanting to get crushed, asked if Simon, one of the fishermen cleaning his nets, would loan out his boat. And what did Simon Peter say? Simon Peter said, yes. Yep. He said yes and took Jesus away from the shore so he could preach to everyone. Now, don't you think Simon Peter was a bit curious as to what was going on? I mean, there was so much intrigue and power. Here's this guy teaching like no other, and people are being healed. There had to be some curiosity. Was this Jesus the real deal? Well, Simon Peter said yes to loaning the boat to Jesus. And this would not be the only time saying yes either. Listen to what Simon Peter says next. This is verses 4 and 5. When he finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night long and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." Boom! Here's another yes. How about that? While Jesus was speaking, Simon Peter and the others were cleaning their nets. They had been fishing all night. Now, perhaps they were listening to Jesus, but more than likely, they were just tired, hungry, and wanting to go home. imagine the surprise on Simon Peter's face when Jesus tells him to row back out to deep water and drop down his nets. Or just imagine how we might have felt. We'd be like, oh, no, wait a second. I just cleaned those nets. I was just out there all night long and didn't catch a thing. What could have possibly have changed? I mean, I'm hungry. I'm tired. I really just want to go to bed. But that's not what Simon Peter said at all. He said, because you say so, I will let down the nets.
And that's exactly what they did. They let down their nets again and caught so many fish that their nets began to break. We have to notice that Simon was doubtful they would catch any fish since they'd been working all night and were experienced fishermen, but he didn't refuse. He said yes and willingly let down his nets. And that willingness gave opportunity for Jesus to work this miracle. Verse 8, we find how Simon reacted to this miracle. We read, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." Upon witnessing this miracle, Simon Peter recognizes that Jesus is unlike any man he's ever been around and exclaims, "I am a sinful man." Meaning Simon Peter realizes his sinfulness makes him unworthy of being near Jesus. He recognizes Jesus is holy and set apart, and that he, Simon Peter, is an unclean sinner.
Have you ever had a moment when you saw the glory and love of God, and that made you very aware of your own sinfulness and unbelief? That was Simon Peter. "Go away from me, Lord," he commands Jesus. But Jesus responds like this in verse 10 and 11. "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. Simon Peter and the others said yes to Jesus. That is such a powerful, powerful scene. Simon Peter is feeling totally unworthy. But Jesus says, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." In other words, Simon Peter, you don't have to fear rejection because of your sin. I accept you. I've already got a plan for you. I want you to tell others this good news. And most importantly, I will be with you every step of the way. Now get up. Let's go tell others. Simon Peter and the others went from being fishermen to fishers of men. Jesus gives a gracious invitation, "Come, follow me." And Simon Peter's non-verbal response by leaving everything and following him is, "Yes, Jesus."
But just like we didn't read of Moses saying out loud, "Yes, God, I will go," we don't read in any of the gospel accounts that Simon Peter says out loud, "Yes, Jesus, I will follow you." But just as we saw Moses' yes through his actions of going to Egypt and leading the people, we see Simon Peter's yes through his actions of leaving his nets and following Jesus. Both men acknowledge right away that they, on their own, are not capable of what they are being called to, but they are willing. And that willingness leads to both of them getting to be present at some pretty amazing moments. Be careful not to sugarcoat this yes. Saying yes to Jesus means that we can be guaranteed to face hard times. It does not mean we'll suddenly have an easy, simple, painless, and carefree life. But that yes to Jesus means saying yes to our best lived lives as we live in relationship with God. Every day we face moments that can challenge that willing spirit. We have to continue to choose to say yes in our hearts and through our actions. Let's continue to say yes to choosing to spend time in and being aware of the presence of God. And always keep in mind that we are not saying yes to something, but we are saying yes to someone, our living and active God.
Now, the Bible is full of people saying yes to God. And in reading and hearing all these stories, we learn about God and the kind of relationship he offers. When we say yes to a God who is faithful, a God who is just. He is powerful, patient, full of wisdom, and full of grace, and so much more. Some things about God are easy to grasp, like how he is love. Some things we might not fully understand, like the Trinity of God being Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But when we say yes, we are saying that we are willing to grow, to learn, and to act in the ways that God is calling us to act. So what is the specific yes God is putting on your heart today? I don't know the specific yes each of you can offer. God is the all-knowing one, not me. But I can tell you with complete confidence, when you say yes, God's response is, I will be with you. Just like God's response was to Moses and Simon Peter. Whatever concern or excuse you can come up with can be put to rest because God will be with you. And nothing is more powerful than that. Let's pray about that. Heavenly Father, you are indeed so just, so powerful, so patient, so full of wisdom and grace, so full of mercy and love. You are the most high and deserving of our worship and praise. We are so thankful, Father, to be in your presence. Thank you, Father, for always being with us. And thank you, Father, for the special invitation to draw closer to you. And we pray, Father, that everyone says yes to you. Yes to a fuller, happier life. Yes to wanting to learn more about you. Yes to sharing the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ. Yes to spending more time with Jesus so that we can know you deeper. Help us, Father, to share the gifts you've given us for the good of others and for your great love to be on display for all to see. Father, we trust you, we love you, and we are so thankful for your Son, Jesus Christ, who is worthy of every song we could ever sing and worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. And it's in his glorious name we pray. Amen.